Yo, welcome to Talking Ego. I'm your host, Ego Adeo, and yeah, today I'm very lucky to have another dope guest full of insight and unique perspectives. So yeah, without further ado, let's get into it. First of all, it's great to have you, man. Do you prefer Chuck Knight or David?
I'm easy, man. Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm Nigerian, so I'm not I'm accustomed to having plenty of different names. I'm no stranger.
Do you have a Nigerian name?
Of course. Chuck Knight, Chukwufemi Nitima. Those are my two Nigerian names. You know, I never told you that. Well, now you know. And I gentrified them because I'm fucking British like that. You know. You know what? Yeah, people like to go on. People sometimes complain about British kids gentrifying or westernizing their Nigerian names. And at first I got it. And then at a certain point, I didn't get it because it was like, yeah, but hold on, I am British. Do you get me?
Yeah.
I understand if an African person comes here and changes their name from, you know, I don't know, Adeyemi to something, to Delroy or whatever it may, do you know, I understand if they're from there, but I was born here, so I am British. So shouldn't I want to accept both parts? So that's the part of my life where I didn't understand it. But then very recently, my mum, as I've been learning to speak Igbo, I've realized that very subtle changes in the way the word is said change the meaning completely.
This is true.
So that is now reaffirms that concept of making sure you're pronouncing it correctly. But it's too late because I'm Chuck Knight. So yeah, fuck it.
Well, but what do you... So when you apply for... When you last applied for a job, because it's been a minute.
Yeah.
Because you're a CEO now.
Yes.
So we didn't even finish the introduction. So Chuck Knight is a fashion designer, rapper, songwriter, scriptwriter, yeah, who's successfully gone out the 9 to 5, which not many people can do. But yeah, I mean, the last time you applied for work, did you put Chuck Knight or did you put David?
I put all 5 of my names. I put David, well, 5? How many names? Yeah, I put David, Jerome, Chukwufemi Nitima Otakuto. I'm just exposing my whole government. Just beep out the...
Yeah. I put beep, 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 beep. You touched on a very interesting topic of being Nigerian, but also being British and how that's kind of changed for you as you're growing up, yeah?
Yeah.
I think I've kind of had a similar journey where there's always going to be people, I found, there's always going to be people from both sides who don't accept you.
Yeah.
And from both sides who want to accept you.
Yeah.
My accent usually is the thing that kind of segregates me or ostracizes me from Nigerians when I go there. Because they're like, why do you sound like this?
But then you have to open your why are you this way?
Are you gay? Literally, that's why But for real, that's why I don't even
That's the way the country is in general. I don't think it's just you. But yeah, the fact that they can tell you're westernized. Yeah. No, they can just fucking smell it on you. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, no, because I mean I'm sure it happens to everyone, but the way they single me out is that they'll say, oh, where are you coming from? Where are you coming from? Oh, my brother, like, you know, it's hard for us back home. And I'm like, oh, okay. Is it? For real? Well, do you want to pay my student loans? Like, is it like that? You
know what I mean? That's what it is, man. And you know what it is? They think this is the land of milk and honey or the land paved with golden roads because they just think like we're all here living in palaces, drinking out of golden chalices. And it's just not that. Like, everybody's got their own struggle. I guess that's why it's important for everybody to respect the hustle, because it's not like the oppression Olympics. I like to say, I don't know where I heard that, but it's not the oppression Olympics. You don't have to compare people's struggle because everybody goes through their own thing.
Going back to our duality of nationality,
mm-hmm.
I would say it's definitely for me changed over the years. And at this point, I'm just like, you know what? My answer used to change depending on the person.
Mm.
So certain people, if they hear my accent, they'll be like, oh, are you from England? Especially if I'm in the States.
Yeah.
They'll be like, oh, are you from England? I'm like, yeah. And then I'll ask, what part?
No, they'll be like, are you from England?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No one asks if I'm Nigerian.
Okay.
But then they usually be like, oh, where's your accent from? Then I'll say England. Then they'll be like, okay, but where are you from? And I'll be like, England. Right. Then they'll be like, okay, but where are your parents from? And I'll be like, England. But no, I'll say Nigeria at that point.
Yeah. Because they were both born here, right?
No, my mum was. My dad was born in Nigeria, though.
Okay.
And they both grew up in Nigeria, so.
Okay.
But it's, honestly, I feel like my answer is going to change fucking next year as well.
Mm.
At this point, I just don't take it too deep. If people ask questions, I just answer them.
Mm. I think it definitely helps to prepare so that, because I don't know, it can be annoying sometimes, like that whole people trying to box you into a certain criteria. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think it helps to prepare your answer for, I don't know. My mom always taught me just make sure you're prepared, always be sharp. So make sure that, you know what I'm saying, you can anticipate the conversation.
For me at this point, there's not too much to prepare because I've had people ask me in so many different ways where it's like either my answer is going to be I'm English,
yeah,
I'm Nigerian, or I'm Nigerian but I was born in England. It's going to be one of those answers.
Yeah,
and I don't really get offended if people ask me in a rude way because it kind of is what it is. Like, I am who I am. But I think the thing, especially for kids, which is hard, is deciding where your allegiance, loyalties. And at this point, for sure, my loyalty is only to myself. Mm-hmm. It used to be like, oh no, like England, I got my education here, my first love, my best friends, all that stuff. I got that from here. And at a certain point, it was Nigeria. Like, you know what? No, I'm Nigerian. Genetically, I'm Nigerian. My family is there. At the end of the day, they don't care about you that much, either one. And I mean, community is essential. But I think we should all be loyal to ourselves and to our family.
Mm.
And country, that kind of comes last to me.
I don't know, man. I'm conflicted on it, to be honest with you.
No, tell me.
Do you know what it is? I feel like it's important to know where you come from and to be solid on it because, not to be cliche about it, but you have to know where you're coming from to know where you're going. And I feel like when you know your history, it strengthens you. It gives you a foundation to, I don't know, take on oncoming things. I'll give you an example. Like, say, for example, in school, in primary school, us Afs, I don't even know what to call us Afs because there's Afs that are like fresh and then there's Afs that are like just African in general. But us lot used to get it regardless. Do you get me? We didn't have ground to stand on in primary school, from my experience anyway. We would back it, we would hold it. But I feel like the Caribbeans, the Jamaicans were kind of like the cool kids. It wasn't like cool to be African. It was like,
oh yeah, for
we used
sure.
to get the names of Baba Tunde and you eat fufu and all of them things there. Like, we used to get it, and I feel like we was on the ropes a little bit. Do you get me? So, I feel like that's because there was a lot of ignorance to do with where we come from, and I feel the solution to that is knowing yourself. When you know yourself, when you know, hold on, you know, this is the strength of my people. Like, it's really important to know facts, factual evidence, not hearsay, not opinionated things, like to know history, your true history, not what somebody told you your history was or what this country, being England, tells you your history is. You know
okay,
I mean?
So first of all, I for sure agree. I think as a kid, if you are like African Nigerian or if you're not a couple generations English, then you should know where you're from, sorry.
Yeah.
So like me, I wish I could go back and have been more proud of being Nigerian.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I'm happy with the conclusion I've come to now.
Yeah.
But I feel like I spent too much time not being proud of being Nigerian.
Yeah.
Having said that, I mean, what? How many generations until your kids are English and not Nigerian?
Yeah, yeah. No, entirely. Entirely. That's another point. It's like, on one side, as well as it being really relevant to know your extended history, and like for us, it would be like the specific tribe you come from as opposed to the country. Because like you say, Nigeria is a product of colonization. Many people don't even really know that, to be honest with you. Like, they don't know that, whereas other countries like Rhodesia and all of this were there from day. Nigeria was just a bunch of different tribes that they all just put us on the same team, basically, and said, yeah, you lot run together, kind of thing. And so where it's good to know that history, we was also born here, and that's important. Where you're born, I think, is relevant. So I don't let nobody make me, just because I don't like going pub and fucking drinking pints, and well, I do like drinking pints, but just because I don't like doing things that are like tradition, I don't eat like a bacon fucking sarnie or whatever it is. And
missing out.
Because I don't do the whole English breakfast and tea in the afternoon and fish fingers for dinner or whatever the hell. Not to stereotype. But
yeah, no, just, but that's all English people are. That's the only thing.
I don't think anybody would argue with that. But, you know, just because I don't all do all of that doesn't mean I ain't British. Like, you know, to be honest, nobody, regardless of the color of their skin, even has the right to take it away from me. And this is something I've really come to kind of recently, to be honest. This is a revelation I've come to recently. I'm British regardless. Do you get me? It doesn't really matter what you say, because I was born here on this land, irrespective. Do you get me? Irrespective of borders or whatever. I was born in this portion of the world. So you don't get to tell me whether I'm British or whether I'm not British. I am. Sorry.
Yeah.
And my British culture is fucking Channel U, fucking, what's it called? 5 Day Pass, Bebo, Pixel.
Hey,
that's my fucking British culture. And that is what I rep. I don't need to rep the other shit. Do you get me? I don't need to. I don't need to rep the Queen's head. I don't need to respect the monarchy. Just because I don't need to like Winston Churchill. That's another one that they love, Winston Churchill. They want us to like all of their heroes, and it's like they're not our heroes though. He didn't like flipping Asian people nor black people.
Mate, you know what? If anyone should have had beef or had cause to try and get Churchill taken down, I would have thought it would be Indians.
Yeah.
The stuff I heard. Anyway, that's a completely different topic. Yeah, so I think where are you from and what is your heritage are two different answers. My heritage is Nigerian. Right. But I'm from here.
Yeah.
End of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I can be proud of that or not be proud of it, but I am, my heritage is quote unquote Nigerian, but even that isn't completely accurate.
Mm.
If you could give, let's say, 6-year-old David advice on how to navigate being a young Nigerian kid in England and keeping your identity, I guess. What advice would you give?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I know.
That's why I asked it. No, you know what it is? It's difficult to say. It's difficult with advice. It's difficult because life just has to teach you sometimes, especially for me. You see the way I am now. If I could describe myself, I would say, I try to be as open-minded as possible. I try not to think I know it all, but that only comes from having made a lot of mistakes. Like you have to be embarrassed enough to not want to be wrong all the time. So then you don't always, not that I'm not decisive, but you're flexible to be able to take other opinions on. Do you get me? So I think my younger self was probably a lot more like headstrong, as in like stubborn. Even as a 6-year-old, I would say definitely people like my peers would have described me as, I don't ask for opinions. Yeah. I don't ask for opinions or advice.
Come that soon.
I don't know, literally, like I was, you can't tell me. So I remember having an argument with somebody. I was completely wrong, by the way, obviously, when I tell you, about how many hours there was in a day. I was like, there's 12 hours in a fucking day. And niggas was like, he wasn't a nigger, he was my white guy. But he was a white guy, but the whole time, Fimba. I think it was him I was arguing with. He was like, bro, there's 24 hours in a day. Like there's 12, I know they say 12 hours, but that's daytime. And then there's 12 hours in the nighttime. And I was like, listen, you can't tell me shit. I know what I've been, you know that you're just tough headed. Like, why are you being so anal about it when you're actually wrong? Like, that's a dumb example. And it kind of makes me sound dumb.
Well,
if I thought that now, probably it would. But that kind of thing of just being, I had a lot of that. Maybe I was like not a very intellectual kid. I was just like a sociable kid. So being wrong a lot and having that embarrassment of, oh shit, I was really wrong about stuff. Like a lot turned me into somebody who I'm willing to listen a lot more, because I realized how, no matter how, being really convinced about something and being dead wrong should, for a normal person, develop them into somebody who understands how, even no matter how solidly you see something, you realize that there may be other sides to it.
It's humbling. It allows for critical thinking. It's definitely necessary. You need to be wrong. The best thing you can do when you're young is be wrong and find out you're wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess a more appropriate question would be, would you say you struggled with your identity as a young child?
No, okay. I didn't struggle. Just to the extent, like I told you about that whole thing of not being cool to be African.
Yeah, okay, not being cool to be African.
Because now it's completely different. Now it's the thing to be. We're popping.
For real, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Afrobeats, you see what I'm saying? Tearing up the clubs and that. But back then, apart from that, which didn't really affect me very personally, I think I really did know myself. But that's because I've got a strong network. For me, my family helped a lot, especially like my mum. Like she grounded me a lot because she took, like, my actual heritage is quite rich. My mum told me a lot about her lineage and it's very rich there. Do you get me? There's a lot of history to be had. And that's where my thoughts come on knowing yourself, because it makes me proud to be who I am. When she tells me this story and that story, it really makes me to understand that I come from something. Do you get me? And like, and any, it's not to say that, oh, I'm special. I think everybody has that. It doesn't matter what, your grandparent could have been a farmer, but you can have pride in the way he sheared this fucking sheep or whatever it may be. Do you get me? So I feel like because my mom did that, I didn't really struggle with who I was, because I noticeably, I had friends that didn't have as much acceptance. Sure. So I would say the bad side of what I described about being so kind of headstrong as a kid would be the hard-headedness. But the good side was I was really confident. So I think the advice I'd give to answer your initial question would be to, which is what I learned the hard way, but to be more open-minded, to learn more.
The main thing is just knowledge and education.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just helps. Even if you don't know the answer yourself, it just helps to have more information than the other party.
Yeah.
Or at least have enough information on yourself that you don't get blindsided.
Yeah.
So that someone is telling you, oh no, X, Y, and Z about Nigeria, and they're not even Nigerian, and they're telling you about Nigeria.
Yeah,
you
know exactly. I mean? Like, and then by that you're saying like factual information, like.
Yeah, yeah. Not opinions. Exactly. Like straight facts.
Data sort of thing.
Yeah.
It helps to have that. Definitely.
Yeah.
What about yourself, by the way? What about you? What advice would you give to 6-year-old Emoji?
Purely in regards to like my identity of being Nigerian and being born in the UK. Quite similar, to be honest. I went to like Catholic school my entire life, so most of my friends were either like white Irish or Polish.
Okay.
And most of the people in the school, like not even just my friends, like most of the people in the school.
It was a boarding school, right?
No, that was later, but like primary school, secondary school was just normal public school.
In
England.
England.
In London, yeah. Cool. And that my thing was that I would just kind of forget I was Nigerian when I was in school. Not like actively, but just be like, it didn't really come up. Mm-hmm. It was like, we're all kind of in school. We're all just dealing with shit. Like there was honestly race, well not race, but me being either from Nigeria or from England was the last thing on my mind. Mm-hmm. Like I was thinking, I want money for this game. I want to hang out with my friends. I want to go play football. I want to play sports.
Right.
Race came up here and there, but luckily I was reasonably good at sports. I was really good at certain things. So I didn't really get too much flack, at least early on. But I mean, obviously, we all go through our experiences at some point, and I definitely did. But yeah, man. The last question was going to be, would you rather have been born in Nigeria and stayed there? Or been born in England but be white?
Oh, okay. That, I didn't know he was going to say that. Honestly, be born in Nigeria and stay there.
I feel you. Yeah. I think that's the closest to who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably the smallest change.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still change.
Because I like who I am and I wouldn't want to change
it. Yeah.
Not to say that it's not... White people don't, and you know, they probably love being white, I would assume, you know, if they love themselves and stuff. I just think about these kind of things a lot. You know, we talk about it a lot and stuff like that. And I think like what a blessing it is to be black in general, because we've been dealt a hand where our original sin is not what other people's original sin is. I really feel like your heritage matters. People try to diminish it these days. They try to, I wasn't there during slavery time, so I don't. But the thing is with that, I hear you. I hear what you're trying to say. But the fact of the matter is your ancestry, it matters for stuff. In my opinion, I feel like it matters. And regardless of whether you committed that deed or not, your lineage did. Because, you know, when your grandma is going through something or your great nan is going through something, you feel it because they're your person, they're your family. And it's the same way if you just keep on extending that family line, you unconsciously have a link towards what your ancestors, you know, how they lived, what they did. It lives within you. And so I know it's not, you know, my white counterparts' faults of what some of their ancestors may or may not have done. I know it's not their faults, and it's not entirely their responsibilities to take thing for. You can't put that on nobody. But at the same time, it's like, that's there though. It's there. We have to talk about it, even though you don't want to.
Okay.
And so I wouldn't personally want that. And so because of that, I feel like, sorry, I know this is a long-winded answer.
No, please keep going.
But because of that, I feel like we're in a position where what we do now, it's not like, I don't want to say we have an excuse for stuff, but the explanation behind, we're like the underdogs.
Okay, so first of all,
yeah,
I will agree that our ancestry and our heritage is incredibly important. I mean, if you even just look at how addiction is hereditary, just so many how so many things are hereditary, I'd love to learn how many things get passed through the grapevine from like generations ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely think we're not completely removed from our ancestors and mm-hmm. their coding. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to hold people responsible for what someone 10 generations did back. But I think there are definitely traits, there's definitely actions, there's definitely potential for the same behavior in everyone. Having said that, though, with the whole thing about if you're white and potentially if you had ancestry who were slave masters or some shit like that, how do we then treat the Africans who sold their brothers to these whites? Because it wasn't just, they didn't just take all of them. Some of them were sold. Some of us profited off selling our brothers and sisters.
Okay, so really good question. And I think that my answer would be, we like to generalize a lot, which isn't really good, but fuck it, because we do it. If we were to just group like westernized culture, we can definitely say that profited off the back of slavery a lot and the slave trade. And yeah. African culture in that side of the world isn't in a position where you can say, oh yeah, we profited a lot. Not with any longevity. Do you get me? So I think that's really important. That's a really important factor to take into consideration. And the fact that now when we look at Barclays Bank and when we look at I don't even need to name all of them. All the companies now that have been around since that time have all profited off the back of that. And so it's not like, oh, every single white person has heritage into that thing. But the thing, the country in which you live, going back to that primary school conversations, usually sometimes the way we think is we think about things in a generalized term, like an argument from a 11-year-old kid and what they would say. Oh, Africans are this and, you know.
Yeah.
And we usually generalize in that way. And sometimes even as adults, we do that. And so to do that, you would have to say in general, even if you're a bum on the street here, your whole country is still in a way better position than the richest person in Africa. Because although their lifestyle might be great, do you get me? But what our culture says to us, you might live your whole life as a really wealthy African entrepreneur or whatever, but once you die, the only thing that's left of you is your culture.
Okay.
That's what I believe personally. When you die, you've lived your life and whatever, but the thing that lives on is your... Not that that's all what matters. I don't want to make it like, oh, race and thing is all that matters, but I really do feel like your people and the people that represent you, I feel like that's a really important thing to leave a staple on.
Okay.
And so what I'm saying is that if we look at that as a whole, I feel like that's where the argument comes into it, to a point where, the long story short, it's because of where we are today. The whole relevancy is of where we are today. We don't really need to have a discussion about this, you know. I mean, yeah, sorry, we could if somebody wanted to have a conversation about that, but I guess wouldn't.
Why though?
Why would we?
Yeah, like, that's kind of my thing. I mean, I'm not intelligent enough to know. Actually, no, to be fair, that's kind of copping out. I haven't done enough research to find out the benefit of us having daily discussions on how downtrodden we've been.
Mm-hmm.
I'm purely on like, what can we do today that will benefit our kids?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for sure, a lot of people have said education, mm-hmm. better education on Africa and I think first of all, better education on who Africans are, where Africa is as a continent, what we've contributed,
mm-hmm.
what's been stolen of our contributions. I mean, mm-hmm. we don't have to like go over the whole, oh, they stole this and this, but I mean, literally paying dues to what we've contributed to the world positively, mm-hmm. and changing the media outlook of Africans to not just be kids on the street that are malnourished with flies on their face.
Right, right, right. That's the whole picture that is painted, right?
That, like, I mean, I think that is definitely important.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. And just to, sorry, I know I don't want to backtrack, but
go on.
Just to add on to what I was saying before, I think another really important difference between the two, just that comparison of, okay, what about, because that's, a lot of people do say that. White people love that one, to be honest with you.
What about the people who sold the slaves?
Yeah, about you Africans that sold yourselves? We have to identify the differences between those two things, because I think there's a fundamental difference.
For sure, for sure. Oh yeah, you gone.
Yeah, because I feel like what happens when we sell each other is a human being dominates another human being, and then there's a winner and a loser, and then it could be based off of your family name, your heritage. Sometimes, I think a lot of the time, it was a case where people were house helps and would be treated as like a servant, as opposed to a slave.
Yeah, actually, can I jump on that?
Yeah, of course, go on.
Yeah, so this is something I only learned recently. So back in the day, and I say back in the day because I don't know the exact years and dates, mm-hmm. but back in the heyday of the slave trade between Africa and the West, and I don't want to make it sound like it was completely transactional. I mean, the West coming and stealing people.
Mm-hmm.
The way Africans warred on each other was very different from the way the West warred on each other. So when Africans went to battle, went to war, they had a fight. When somebody won, the loser was absorbed into the winner's village.
Right.
And our concept of slave was similar to what you're saying. It was close to, even servant isn't accurate, because they were just taken into the family. It's like, okay, you lost straight up. So we have a gentleman's agreement that you lost. Sure, we killed you. You killed us. But you've lost, now you're part of us.
Right.
And from what I understand, a lot of the Africans who sold other Africans to the West thought that they treated the losers of battle the same, where there was more respect, there was dignity.
Of course.
People would be treated like humans, not animals. And apparently what happened was a lot of the slaves were jumping off ships, and some of them even made it back to Africa and were telling them, oh no, they don't do things like us. They're treating us like animals. They're treating us like dogs. We're not humans there.
Yeah.
Obviously, I wasn't there. You weren't there. And not to say there weren't some chiefs or leaders who were nefarious, who weren't doing bad things, but the complete concept of winners, losers, and victors was very different in African culture compared to Western culture. That's so for important. Them, it was like, oh, if we give these people to you, you're now taking them into your family, into right. your tribe, compared to, oh no, this is our new house rag. This is our new dog of the house, like doormat. Like
literally, like I think that's so important to establish, because it gets lost in translation when we say, oh yeah, but they had slaves before. People forget that in the Bible, they had slaves. Like in the Bible, there were slaves and masters. And it literally said, make sure you treat your slaves well. And the term slave and master, you know, we use it in coding. We use it in so many different aspects where it's not so, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, it's not so damaging as we come to realize it is today. It's just a term. It's just a, you know, sister, brother, mother, daughter, slave, master. Yeah. It's like you're the one in control.
Master pupil.
Yeah, sorry?
Master pupil.
Master pupil. Like literally, it's like you're the one in control. I'm the one that owe my services to you. And that's how it was. Now, what happens when you now start to get white people come and now try and, again, gentrify a culture? Because that was our culture. Like you said, it was you were absorbed or adopted into a family, and now you have to do what I say. I'm the one with the power. Just like the monarchy has the power and the people underneath them don't have the power. I would say, from my information, I can only go on information that I've read and that I know. And so what happens now when you get somebody of a different race, all of the people of a particular race being the masters and all of the people of a other race being the slaves, what now happens is, rather than identifying by name or by position or status, you're now identified by skin, which is an overt way. I can now see you and know you're a slave. And now it allows me to dehumanize you, because what I do, there's no chance of me becoming you. Nobody's going to mistake me as a white person. There's no chance of me being mistaken for a slave. Or sure. Do you get me? When I, as a black person, take you as a black person as a slave, I see myself in you. There's not, I can't treat you that bad.
Yeah.
As bad as a human being can treat another human being, that's about as bad as I can treat you. Because at the end of the day, I am you. When I look at you, I see myself. So there's an automatic limit to how far I can go. And that's just common sense.
Facts, yeah.
When now you see, we see it in how humans treat animals, literally, like, we see it because I'm getting passionate. We see it in how humans treat other species. That's how the way white people were treating black people. And that's when it gets to a point where you now dehumanize somebody. And we start to see Leopold II. We start to see, who was way worse than Hitler, in my opinion. We start to see people who would, you know, do the chopping off of the hands and the just things that are just like, how do you even come up with this stuff?
Yeah,
and things that make me say,
according to the question you asked before, like, what would you rather? That's why I would say I'd rather be black and live it, because I just don't want that on my history. I don't want that to be the stuff I have to learn that my granddad did. Do you get me? I'm lucky that I don't have to. Not to say anything against anybody that does have to, but I'd be pissed if that's what I had to deal with. If that's what my history was, it would be an unfortunate thing, in my opinion. Do you get me? So just to answer that question a little more. And so I'd just like to establish that difference between the two comparisons of they sold those slaves and they sold those slaves. Because once you establish that, then you can realize, okay, yeah, there's a conversation to be had. How come those people were slaves and the same conversation? Why were they slaves in the Bible? That's the same conversation. The conversation of why did you decide to start treating people like cattle? That's a different conversation. How did that happen?
Sure.
Because one, as story writers, as people who write stories, you and me, we know that when you write a character, one thing you can do is say, if I was this person, what would they do? The reason why we can do that is because human beings are more alike. All of us, we're all more alike. So then we like to admit sometimes or understand. So one thing we know is that although people like to say, oh yeah, that was back then, it's in the past, I don't necessarily agree with that opinion. I think that it was human beings, the same type of human beings we have today. And that what it's interesting to me how that happened, because in the same fashion how that happened, whatever that thing that happened to those people made them come to that conclusion in life, what would prevent that from happening from a type of person today? Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And this is why we're talking different. Well, to be honest, actually, our perspective is the same, I would say, but it's more that we're just having it.
Coming from different perspectives onto the same.
Yeah, no, because you're giving me information and like I don't disagree with anything you said.
Mm.
But funny enough, so you mentioned the whole thing of, okay, so obviously you answered the question, you'd rather be black and live in Nigeria.
Yeah, right.
You mentioned the whole thing of the weight on your back if you were white.
Right.
After...
That white guilt.
For real, like after man. What I've seen recently, because obviously us both being black, dealing with racism, that's not really new to us, but obviously a lot of people who aren't black or Asian, or people who aren't racist, who are usually subject to racism or overt racism, usually, they saw a lot of what's happening in the States, they saw a lot of protests, and they're like, oh, what can I do, blah, blah, blah. And honestly, I thought, okay, cool, that's nice that you feel like that, but after seeing certain things, and like just the guilt I see a lot of people having, fake or not, if I was a white person, I would have a hard time dating a black person because I really got a sense of the guilt that I would say emotionally intelligent white people have.
Right.
Or like even the people who are just taking the time to educate themselves and the racism you deal with every single day. Mm-hmm. And like for me, I'd be like, fuck, if I have to be a white person, sure, I love this person, but having to feel guilty every single day that I'm with this person, that would weigh on me. And I'm bad with guilt in general.
Yeah.
Like in general, I'm bad with guilt. Like I step on someone's toe backs and I'm thinking about that for a year.
Think about it in the shower and that.
So I'm not saying like white people should be praised for feeling guilty.
Mm.
Kind of what you said, like, yo, this is kind of the cards we've been dealt. Like I have to deal with this shit. You have to deal with the thought of what I'm dealing with.
Right.
And me having to deal with it might be a bit worse than you have to deal with the thought of me dealing with it.
It's tough. I guess that's why some people who are white just decide not to deal with it.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you about the doctor? Oh, I forget her name now. There's a female doctor, American doctor, who she's a biracial, she would describe herself as American. Like she has white family and she talks about like her white sister-in-law intercepting for her in a supermarket and stuff, and that showing her the difference between when white people get involved and, you know, say something, it makes a complete difference and stuff. But anyway, she talks about this, phenomena of cognitive dissonance, whereby the brain, it doesn't know how to handle a particular concept that it is contrary to what it already knows. And it kind of like clashes with information. So it has to get rid of something. From my understanding of it anyway, do you get me?
Yeah, and you can only deal with so much information.
You can only deal with so much. And so she shows these pictures of like these little like 8-year-old girls at lynchings, at public lynchings, with hanging like broken neck black men. And the little girls are like smiling like they're dancing around a water fountain with little puppies in their hand, like smiling like they're at a fireworks show.
Yeah, yeah.
And that the cognitive dissonance she talks about there is your brain has to do this switch thing whereby it says this person's not human.
Yeah, for
like you can't deal with it. You cannot, you like as a human being, you can't say that's a human being like me there and we're doing this to them because they fucking jaywalked or I don't know, because they looked at someone funny. Your brain has to do this switch thing where it now dehumanizes that person and it just it's like a glitch in the system where it's like it just turns into one way. Do you get me?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And she talks about that, and it's just, and that's just for me an interesting concept. She talks about how it not only affects them, not only affects us because of, you know, what it does to us and how we, you know, we always say we've been taught to hate ourselves and stuff, but it also teaches them to kind of not be human as well, because that's quite an inhumane thing to dehumanize somebody.
It's an inhumane act
to do in itself. So the effect it has on them as well. And that's why it's important for everybody to kind of learn this stuff and not brush it under the carpet.
Man, it's been great to have you. First of many, I hope. Yeah, mate.
It's been a pleasure, man.
Mate, it's a pleasure having you. I always appreciate your insight and your perspective.
Thank you, bro. Yeah, it's always an interesting conversation. And I think sometimes things like that, I think a lot of people would appreciate hearing that as well. Even sometimes it's difficult because people find it hard to have certain conversations, but I think it's always good. It might help somebody. So yeah, it's a pleasure, bro.
Always a pleasure, Raymond. Thank you.